way.
All right, welcome to a very low-key post-game podcast. It is. I am Bill. We're here with Seth. And
is that a low-key reference to my tone of voice at this point?
Well, you've always got the sexy...
I am the Barry White of the internet.
That's right. 52-12 win for Missouri over Furman today. Really, I don't see, you know, even if we waited on this one, I don't see me and Ross even being able to talk for an hour about this one. And we can talk for an hour about just about anything, but it's worth...
I could talk about how it's actually Ross and I. Go ahead. You're fine.
You know, I got lectured the other day on Football Outsiders for some grammatical error, too. So I'm having a terrible week. I'm feeling kind of insecure right now.
Sorry.
All right. So, you know...
Do you want me to start just to
42
get the show
nothing. Moving? You know, let's do what we did, what Ross and I did. Not that you actually listen to our own podcasts, what we did was we walked quarter through
okay.
the action. So, first quarter, 14-0. A slow start again.
I say 14-0 is a little misleading only because while we got the ball again to start the game, did we not?
Yes.
Two games in a row? All three games this season?
First game was Illinois, so last year.
Okay. We're just not one of the great things about last year's team was the ability just to go right for the throat. They were methodical in the way they could move the ball in a minute and a half.
Yep.
And move it right down the field. And this team doesn't quite have that yet. I thought, you know, it actually in two we'll take the first two drives because they kind of mirrored one another in that we had runs on both drives. Okay, but not great. We had 50-yard bombs on third quarter. Or excuse me, third down. That was not even okay, not even not great. And second down was marred by penalties.
Drops.
Drops. First to Denario,
and then the second to Perry.
So, not really flying out of the gate. And I don't know that there's anything you can attribute that to necessarily, but certainly something that the coaches can work in the off week or the off time as it is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with these games, what you want is an easy win and something to work on. And so now they've got a short week. It's nice that the starters only had to play three quarters.
Yeah. If that.
You know, some of the starters were rotating back in there to try to stop Furman to score, but obviously not enough starters came back into the game there at the end. But so first quarter, slow start, but Furman's really not doing anything.
First quarter, great. Vertical passing by Gabbard on the touchdown.
Yeah, and first with the trick play from Denario to Perry, and I started thinking about those plays. You know, it's very easy to see those coming from the stands, but on the sideline, I would assume that it's relatively.
And a lot of people question, well, why do you run that against Furman? Well, you run that against Furman so you can run it against Oklahoma State. Like you want to put it into play at some point. You don't want that to come straight off your practice field.
Well, and what Pinkel always says is it's one more thing that future opponents have to account for. Right. So if they want to do a quick pass to Alexander where he runs the ball or throws it back to Gabbard or something like that.
You're committing a safety, like, oh no, I saw this on film, I'm going the other way.
And so then that got Missouri on the board, kind of got Missouri rolling, because after that, everything started to click.
Yes.
The next drive is, I think, a one-play drive, the bomb to Perry.
Yeah.
And so it's 14-0 going into the second quarter.
Great touch on those balls.
Yeah, he really, you know.
As terrible as that sounds for me to say, but fantastic touch on the pass.
That would get you in the awful announcing top 10, I'm pretty sure. and for all his faults, you know, he needs to probably manage the game a little better, at least at the beginning especially. But the touch on the – go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we'll get to game management when we get to the second quarter.
Yeah. But he does have the prettiest deep ball that I can remember from a Missouri quarterback. And we've utilized it the first few games of the season. So 14-0 in the second quarter, and that's when things just start clicking.
Yeah.
Furman really just doesn't do anything on offense. And it's going to be funny to see, you know, when we talk about our national rank for defense as people are leaning on those. We did give up about 400 yards today. None of it came before we were up 35-0.
And what are we at points per game? We've given up 7 to Illinois, 20 to Bowling Green, 12 to Furman. So points per game, decent. I mean, certainly better than we thought we might be.
Especially since 6 of those points against Bowling Green were directly attributable to fumbles.
Right.
That we're going to know the defense is
Illinois was a garbage touchdown. Furman has a garbage touchdown. And we've covered the garbage time. You do such a great job with the stats of the garbage time.
Thank you. But, no complaints from the defense. Obviously, they lost focus there in the second half. But in the second quarter.
I don't think we blitzed it all day.
I don't really think so.
I don't remember any more than 4.
And Furman's another, like Bowling Green, another team that they just, you know, snap the ball, throw the ball. and you're really not going to get a lot of pressure in those situations.
A couple of great throws from the Furman quarterback. I remember one in particular, just a nice, like, 15-yard out where he threaded it in. I mean, good throw, good catch. Geddes had great coverage, was maybe a half a step behind. I think we're thinking of the same play now. A great play. So something you have to account for. I mean, Furman was not without some talent on that side of the field.
Right. I mean, we came into this game thinking Furman, they were down 3-0 to Virginia Tech at half last year. They outgained Clemson 2 years ago. They have some ability to be competitive, and we just did not let them be competitive in the first half.
And their scheme of multiple backs out of the shotgun does lend itself to, causing some matchup issues. It's kind of a variation of the spread, and all spreads are trying to create mismatches. And I think Furman did a nice job of creating some mismatches, but again, credit to this defense for keeping those mismatches in front of them.
Yeah, they didn't need to make plays or be too aggressive, so they just kept everything in front of them and used the fact that they were faster than Furman and kept them off the scoreboard. So it becomes, we started joking in the second quarter that Denaire Alexander's doing all the work and not scoring any of the touchdowns, so he scores back-to-back touchdowns. Yeah. But I'm trying to think, the first touchdown it was to Denaire, right.
Yeah.
Goes up 21-0.
Gabbert's run.
That's right. Gabbert's
Toledo quarterbacks-esque.
Yeah, run. If nobody's going to tackle me, I guess I'll take it. So 21-0, easy, quick punt, 28-0 on Alexander's first touchdown. Then made 35-0 by Jacquees Smith, looking like a tight end.
Runs a little too upright, but
We don't know about his route running yet, but reads the screen very well, gets the deflected pass, takes it 40 or so yards for a touchdown. So at this point, it's 35-0. Furman finally mounts a drive and goes down, misses a field goal, and with a minute left, we have a choice.
Is that the missed field goal, or did he fumble it going in?
No, that was the missed field goal.
Okay.
And so we have a choice at that point. Are we jerks, and do we actually run a two-minute drill for once? I say anything in the first half is fair game, and they ran a two-minute drill to perfection.
Like Centralia up on Highland last night, 56-0 at the half.
Shout out to Centralia there.
No, all just because readers. Running clock in the second half, but I mean, to your point, anything in the first half is fair game.
And so, became a. See you guys. I just
about a buck 30 on the clock.
There you go. And
actually, not
easy
because we went.
Yeah, it was about a buck 11, I think. Yeah. Very easy scoring drive all the way down the field. Gabbert with a nice touchdown pass to Alexander as Seth's
and
wife
brought us
delivers
to halftime where
cupcakes.
We enjoy some delicious cupcakes. My wife's kind of half birthday cupcakes because we won't have another home tailgate before her birthday. So happy birthday, honey.
Happy birthday.
I think that's her debut on the podcast.
Yeah, and except for last year when she gave us cookies and
talked. She said anything.
Oh, that's right.
That's the audible debut.
Where we sit here and look at our cupcake and try to wrap up this podcast as soon as possible because I can't do this with one hand.
You talk, I'll eat.
Okay. Well, anyway, so easy, nice little two-minute drill. Makes it 42-0 going into halftime. And from then, it just didn't matter anymore. Furman gets the ball, runs a nice little five-minute drive, and fumbles driving for the end zone. So Missouri holds them off there once, goes three and out, and Furman finally scores the touchdown that they had pretty much earned.
But pleased to see we didn't come out again at the half. Didn't come out well. Some of our seatmates pointed out, we haven't started halves very well, even though we did come right out against Illinois. But in this game, three and out, credit to Pinkel. You know what? We need to do better than that. So the starters were left in, methodical drive down.
Yeah, here's where the running game started finally looking good. First half, we didn't need it because the passing game was so effective, but the running game just wasn't there. Third quarter, it picks up. Derek Washington scores a touchdown, makes it 49-6, I guess.
Yeah. And he had earned it. He had run.
Yeah.
The offensive line hadn't given him much. We hadn't schemed very well for it. But Washington did well in the third quarter just to earn a few more further runs or longer runs. And I don't know, he finished with what, maybe 12 for 45 and
something
a touchdown.
Like that,
it is what it is.
He came through. I mean, we needed the running game in the last game, and it came through for us. Whether it was a focus of them trying to just stop the run and give up the deep ball, who knows, but not too worried about that. So it's 49-6. Furman starts really kind of dominating time of possession even more. Consistently.
Is that possible? We held it for less than 10 minutes in the first half.
Yeah, 10 minutes, 300-something yards. So, you know, at this point, it doesn't really matter what actually happened. Furman scores another touchdown. We get a field goal, try as hard as we can not to score at the end.
I'll say this, some decent-looking passes from Jimmy Costello.
Yeah.
Some great-looking runs from Kendall Lawrence. Excuse me while I speak with my mouth full. And Gilbert Moye, good for you for getting in there. Great run on the touchdown called back by the hold.
No, the touchdown run for Moye was called back by them sending T.J. Moe onto the field as the ball was being snapped.
That should be like soccer. If you're offsides and you're not in the play, you don't call it.
The ref almost didn't notice. He noticed like as he turned around at the end of the play. But so that took took away a final touchdown for Moye. But Moye and Lawrence really kind of dominated the fourth quarter with very good runs.
And I want to speak on my boy Russell. Crushing a 44-yard field goal.
Yeah, we just can't. Jake Harry punted well again today. It's just amazing that we had no idea.
We're pointing at the car. That redhead. Good luck.
Somebody's trying to hit on Seth's
proposition
wife.
My wife.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. After trying to proposition my dad.
Talking to her brother though. That's not going to go well for him.
No. Okay, well,
we wrapped it up in 10 minutes. Let's look ahead.
So, yeah, Nevada, next Friday night.
Isn't that Nevada? Oh, sorry.
Way to go, Missourian. Hopefully, next week's game is nothing like this Friday night's game, the awesome Boise-Fresno game.
And Nevada-Colorado State playing, I think, as we speak, will be interesting to see. Colorado State, of course, having defeated Colorado at Colorado and then barely getting by
Weber State.
Nevada getting skunked against Notre Dame and having had not played since then.
Yeah.
This is their next game, and it will be interesting to see what comes to bear as this game is in Fort Collins. Nevada will not have played a home game before they play us, which is somewhat worrisome.
I think the only reason I would be any worried about this game at all is just circumstances. Like, I think Missouri's a better team than Nevada. On a neutral field or at home, this would be easy. But this is, the quote-unquote biggest home game, one of. They played Texas Tech last year. This is their biggest home game of the year. They're a team now that's probably a little desperate for respect after blowing it all the very first week. Friday night,
didn't even blow it all. It was just straight taken from them.
First real road game for Gabbert. There are a lot of circumstances here that could be cause for concern. But,
the weather's funny in Reno. Right. Highs of 90s, lows in the 50s.
The police department isn't very good. At least, shut up. Anyway, so circumstantially, this doesn't line up well for Missouri, but matchup-wise, it does.
And I want to go back to last year. I know that I hold last year in a little bit of higher regard than you do, and that's fine. I think we've certainly differed on that in terms of written pieces, and that's known. I think that we've done well. We did very well last year against the run, both against Kaepernick. And Tua.
Not to be confused with Tursu Uha of Furman.
Oh, no, clearly. God forbid we confuse those two.
Uha!
I think we did well against the run last year. I think Nevada's going to get some yards. I think our defense is geared towards that at this point. But again, I like seeing that we haven't given up the big play.
Right.
Certainly on the road, I would like to see us expand a little bit on defense. On offense, I think we've seen it. I think we have scheme enough and talent enough and plays enough that we can run what we have run and be successful with it. On defense, I think we are going to need to step up our play calling a little bit. And that's no knock against Steckel for these first few games. I think we've done what we should have done.
Yeah, nope, not blitzing at all today. Yeah.
I think it is time. Spoon's name, not called nearly as much today. That's okay. We certainly know what he is capable of. But I need to see better pressure from the front four. I need to see some defensive pressure. If it's brought about by blitz or by scheme, that's fine. I'm really okay with the secondary at this point.
Yep.
So
I think the other thing I need to see is better angles for Will Ebner.
Poor guy. Yeah. He made it up on the crushing hit later. But, yes, two poor, freshman angles. Freshman in high school angle. Like, I'm going to blow him up. He's gone.
So, clearly with Kaepernick, who is a lot faster than you think a quarterback's going to be, they'll need to be very wary of that.
You know what? We've got great video on this team. Yep. I think Nevada is very similar in its build. I think they are similar in what they will try to do against us. And I think that stands to benefit us. But you are absolutely right. We are going to have to come to play. I don't know that we can afford a first half like we had against Bowling Green if the defense doesn't show. If defense shows again, our defense can hold us in it at this point where our offense can come around. But if we play like we did in the first half against Bowling Green and the defense doesn't show and Nevada gets off, and Nevada's offense clearly more explosive than Bowling Green's, we could be in trouble at that point.
Yeah, I think the other thing Nevada's going to need to prove today to me is that they have a receiver, any receiver, because they didn't.
Hank Baskett's available.
No, actually he's not. Indianapolis snatched him
good
up.
For them. And for Kendra Wilkinson.
Who gets to live in Indianapolis now.
Oh, not good for Kendra Wilkinson.
That was their big drawback against Notre Dame. They drove the ball relatively well, but when they had to pass, they very much couldn't. And so I'm thinking at this point that they're going to need to be able to do a better job of that. And if we handle the circumstances,
should we get a special guest thought here?
Introduce yourself and give us a thought.
How's it going? I'm Jason. What do you want a thought on?
How are we going to do next week, Prem?
Next week, it's going to be a tough game. We play a tough opponent, a tough location away. It's going to be a good testament to how our young guys have developed over the past couple weeks, and hopefully we were able to pull off a W.
These are the kind of people we tailgate. They're just educated people around us, and that's why we are how we are.
Right.
And we have other folks even walking up now as we speak. I don't know if it's against your contract, maybe.
Right. Can you be on a radio and a podcast at the same time here?
Yes, because I'm Sleepy Floyd. I'm not a radio employee.
That's right.
No radio employees
so,
here.
Welcome to Sleepy. Does my dad want to make a cameo too, or?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, two's enough then.
We're right at the end here. We're going to wrap it up for you. We're talking about what Mizzou really needs to do to be successful next week against Nevada. We've talked about how Mizzou, the youth has played a good amount. They've seemed to have grown a little bit. We did well to get some experience on the field this week. But what are we going to have to do against Nevada to make sure that we win by 52 again?
This is their Super Bowl. It's their home opener. They had a chance on the national stage against Notre Dame. It had that workout for the Wolfpack. Not well.
Yellow line down their leg, I think.
That's right. On the road at Colorado State this week, we'll find out how they do. But, this is a chance, home opener, and it's a chance on national television. It's an isolated Friday night game. And when you're a favorite or close on the road, that's where those teams go to die. Missouri's going to have to play maybe their best game of the year to get out with a win next Friday night.
Did you hear that?
I don't disagree with that. I just happen to think that an effort similar to Illinois will land really defeating Nevada by a good margin. I don't disagree with anything that you said in terms of what we need to do to show up. And my only concern is how we've not started games and started halves very well. Yeah. We are going to need to combat that. But if we play the rest of the time as we have played second half against Illinois, second quarter here, Nevada has no shot.
Circumstances out of the equation and Missouri wins this game. But it's a lot of circumstantial issues going against Missouri, and we'll have to see how they respond.
Step on the necks, do it early, and don't give them an opportunity in the second half to come out and win the football game, because they will.
I say we got 2 minutes left here. MVP's offense and defense for the day. Bill, go ahead.
Oh, okay, I'll go first. MVP, I'll give it to Jared Perry, who had 11 billion yards in the first half. six for 176?
Seven for 161,
yeah,
I think.
There's sixes and sevens in there. Yeah. Had the big touchdown on the trick play where, I'm pretty sure I would have scored on that play. Burned the corners on that second touchdown. It just looked pretty much awesome. And so that's my offensive. Defensive.
It's tough. Nobody really stood out today for the effort that was put out. Low points on the board, high yards on the board. How those yards are, we've already talked about.
Yeah.
I'll give it to a guy like Will Ebner, who had a ton of tackles today. You may have talked about this already that I missed.
Yeah.
I'll give that to him. He made sure that to take advantage of the opportunities he was going to get.
He's gotten
today.
A lot of plays. We had to point out he two bad angles he took on a couple plays, but he made up for it with a couple huge hits after that. That's really the only guy that was coming to my head. Spoon was okay. Everybody was fine.
Jacquees.
There we go.
I'm going to say Jacquees just because at that point, yes, we've scored some points. We hadn't done it in a very traditional way, but Jacquees, I think, really slammed the door closed.
Yeah.
Good hands, good run down
off
the field. Running a little tall. I think coaches will get on about that. I like Jacquees on the defense. And I'm going to go Kendall Lawrence, and that is not a nod to our boy, Mr. Tepper. I think that Kendall earned it there just showing his versatility from that standpoint, that he's not just a little scat back, that he can get between the tackles as well as use that speed and get upfield. And I think he did a great job today. And credit to the O-line, whoever was playing in the second half, because I think they played better as a unit than they did in the first half.
Yeah, we really did have to try not to score 60 in that second half, and that's fine. Doesn't matter. So, all right, well, we're wrapping up here. I will have a podcast after next week's game, one way or another. Don't know when or how, but we'll talk to you guys next week. Go Tigers, and 3-0.
Fan cans. Sorry, man. Brady doesn't want me to say that, but I'll just say fan cans.
Some 14-year-old somewhere just started drinking.
Thanks. Damn it.
All right.